Love.
Love Line is meant for an adult audience. Love Line may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. This is Loveline. With Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam, that's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board-certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. What is that horrible, generic, crappy music that they put on this SE opening? Who did the new opening for this show? What year are we in? What decade are we in is a better question.
Honey, 83, 84? Honey, you're in such a mood tonight. Are you on your period? What's the problem? Did they badge you at work today?
I'm in a bad mood. Anderson, you're a radio guy, and I know it's tough because on one hand, you're a radio guy, so you know how badly that opening sucks. On the other hand, you disagree with me on everything, so you must be torn. But tell me your honest feelings on that horrible opening.
First off, I'm not a radio guy. I just happen to do this show.
How dare you?
Second off, I really like the guy that made it, and so I just don't really hear it. But, yeah, I would never, listen to it.
Satisfied?
Very satisfied. Well, that felt great.
Why don't we get Mighty Mighty Boston's on there or something?
That is just it. You really like the guy who made that?
Well, the guy that made he didn't make the music. He just picked the music. Yeah, he's a great guy.
I should have his hands cut off, that guy. It's horrible.
I cannot have.
Oh, man, does
that
suck.
She should have her hands cut off.
And that Dr. Drew and that stupid Max Headroom music. Oh, it gives me a headache. All right, everybody.
So what happened? What's the matter?
Nothing.
Oh, nothing?
It's just a stress.
What?
I'm just fed up.
Your house?
Tired. I'm just tired.
Did your wife have a fight?
No, I've been getting up too early in the morning and too many idiots around me. Can't function anymore.
That's normal. I must do this every day.
I know, but I just, going to not get my nap in. Hot again.
I'll translate for the audience. It means he didn't masturbate either.
Got hot last night again, or 2 days ago. It's hot.
Bad.
Stupid
times.
Drew announced that the summer was over triumphantly a week ago. It's over. Kiss it goodbye. Boom. Santa Ana's come blowing in. It's all weird. I got ants all over my bathroom sink. They're not doing anything. The good news is I get to whiz on them. Let me tell you guys something. Oh, now I'm really. Okay. Hold on.
Here we go.
Okay. Let me tell you this. I pee in the sink. That's fine. Yeah. I make no bones about it. Yeah. We're in a drought. We're in the 50th year of a drought over here.
No, you don't want to waste water, of course.
We're in a drought.
Yeah.
What do you got in your toilet? Three something? 1.6 on
the
low flush?
You're involved, man, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And I could get chicks, too, that way, because, they're, into PETA, and they're, save the animals.
And they're very impressed.
Surf Rider Foundation, all that. And hey, I was in the sink, ladies. Oh.
Come and get it.
Like ringing a dinner bell. Yeah, that's a turn on. And so instead of flushing, 3-4 gallons right into the bay, it's just a couple of teaspoons of, whatever he can, a couple of spritz from the sink.
It just goes down slow. It sits there, slowly it sort of
Let me tell you something. There is nothing better than urinating on wildlife. And women, this is a thrill you will never know. You may live longer than us, but we get to urinate on wildlife. Taking a leak on an anthill, nothing better. Mm. Nothing better. Nothing more satisfying. Nothing better than a roach or something. You're taking a whiz outside. It's a hot summer night. And you spot, street lamp or something. Oh, there, look at a cockroach. Pow.
You are your own.
Drink it, roachy.
Your own destroyer.
Yeah.
Pow.
And the thing about urine is, it really is, it's part raid.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, it's got enough acid in it to drop an ant, yeah?
Yeah, I think so.
It'll do damage to a roach. At least humiliate him enough so he can't go home.
Absolutely.
Yeah. The point is I got ants around my sink, and I get them. Take a nice whiz on them. Hey, Dean Kane is here, everybody.
Yes.
Yeah.
How are you, sir?
Great to see you, Dean.
Great to see you.
Put the cans on. Have a seat.
Adam, I was listening to you on the way in.
Fantastic.
Did he sound like he was in a good mood?
He sounded a little angry, brother.
I'm angry. And now we got the non-dairy creamer, the powder
in
the coffee, and that sent me over the edge.
Yeah.
And it makes me mad that you like that stuff.
Makes me mad, too, because that's terrible.
It's terrible. And you know what it does? You know what he does? He He's Mr. You know, we play good cop, bad cop, a-hole cop. I'm the bad and the a-hole cop.
Yeah.
Drew, I'm the one who's saying, hey, can we get some decent coffee around here? And how about some milk instead of this stuff that says whitener on it? And Drew goes, I'm fine with the whitener. Could you shut up? I'm trying to get something. So now I seem like a prima donna. But I'm not a prima donna. He just has a low self-esteem and no taste buds. You actually like the powdered stuff more than the milk.
Yeah. Not all day long, just this time of day.
Oh, really? This time of day, this hour.
Yeah, I just can't explain why.
Dean, don't.
Yeah, it's almost,
don't
it's almost like, you know what it is? Nuts. It's almost like a habit. So many years on the radio, drinking just crappy, essay coffee.
Keep going.
And I wouldn't know. It's weird. I was like, I wouldn't enjoy a nice cup of coffee. I want something that just keeps me awake because it's awful.
And yeah. a little ticked off.
Yeah.
Awake and ticked.
Keep the edge on.
Yeah.
Keeping it real.
Keeps his edge.
Yeah.
Yeah. That'll be fun. He doesn't say anything for 15 straight minutes.
Last night, if you recall, you see how it works. I lurch forward and then stop.
Yeah.
Get off the line.
Well, watch a show. It'll grind a hole to take a sip of coffee. Here we go. See, nothing.
There we go.
See, that's what happens.
It.
As soon as I stop, as soon as my mouth stops flapping, it's like an airplane. As soon as I'm the engine.
Dance, boom, boy.
Right into the ground. Drew, you're nothing. You're barely landing gear.
It's the play-by-play and the color announcer.
Awesome. Yeah, I'm both.
Color commentator.
Dean Kane here, everybody. Speaking of play-by-play and color announcer, Dean's got himself a new show on CBS, a baseball show, which is perfect for Dean because I've seen Dean on the diamond a couple times, once hitting a mammoth home run out in God knows where many years
Rancho
ago.
Rancho Cucamonga.
No softball.
No, softball.
That's hardball. Wow. Launched into the night.
Wow.
It was like we were launching a satellite just into the night sky. One of those things where the outfielders just turned around. And then, didn't turn around. They looked.
Let it go.
They looked through their legs. That move where it's like they're going to blow themselves.
Let me get this straight. He hit it a long way?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Dean launched a ball. And then I saw him later on, I think 2 years ago at the, or a year and a half ago or whatever it was, at the All-Star Game softball
Chicago.
Game. Dean playing a vacuum cleaner over at shortstop.
Wow.
A vacuum. And
did
not
you play baseball in college?
Hold on a second.
High school, all the way to high school.
Not the canister kind. The upright.
Really?
Wow, sucking
out
again. With the bristle.
Nice.
With you know, the belt-driven bristle.
Yeah.
And the cord, that, and the light, and the light.
Front, yeah.
And then the thing that you can adjust it for the shag, the low pile, and onto the wood floors.
Yeah. That's the guy.
That's Dean. That's Dean at shortstop.
If I recall correctly, you were carrying the big stick that day, softball day, putting it to the wall.
Yeah.
And playing some defense.
I don't like to talk about myself, Dean.
I'll toot your horn.
That's
no,
not
don't,
what
don't worry.
I got on
we
the
heard
show.
The story for, what was that, 18 months ago?
He was robbing
people
home runs.
It was like it was just
runs.
Yesterday. No, maybe it was yesterday he talked about.
All right, please, Drew. First off.
This was the diving catch where he drenched his bag.
It was awesome.
Hold on a second.
That was a Chicago.
You are talking about a catch I made off of Tommy Chong's kid and some other retarded. A game that was a lower echelon celebrity game where Dean was the likes of Dean Kane would not be seen there. Yeah. But hold on a second, Drew. There's a certain communication that world-class athletes have when you know what it's like to be in the show. That obviously, you've not been there.
No.
Drew played in the Dodger celebrity baseball game and didn't want to play.
Push. I didn't want to embarrass myself. I wanted to hit.
Was it a baseball game or a softball game
baseball
at that time?
Game. It was baseball. A baseball
they
game.
They changed it now.
They turned to a softball.
Now? Yeah, I didn't play this year.
What? That's right. You're a hardballer.
I don't want to be playing softball, but I actually wasn't.
Did they make it co-ed now, too?
Probably.
Yeah, it was co-ed.
It was co-ed before, yeah.
But there were like two. There was two women who played, you know, played baseball.
Yeah, had like Elaine Boozler out there.
No. Remember they had the girl from VIP,
uh-huh.
The one you like so much.
Ooh, yeah.
And then Mindy.
All right.
Barb.
Well, Drew, you're not going back anymore,
nothing.
Right?
No.
And Dean's asked to go back, but he doesn't play that fairy softball, and I've been banned from that game. That'll be the end
of
that.
Oh, you got banned?
Well, yes.
Sweet.
Yes, I did get banned.
You're out.
Work. It
told
wasn't
the coach
easy.
To kiss his ass.
Oh,
those
well,
little guys are
the
there.
The guy was a prick, that's why. But, okay, listen, we'll get into that later. Because we got to talk about Clubhouse Tuesday night on CBS. By the way, CBS, it's like the number one network now, right?
Right.
Is it number one?
And not like.
It is. Nice. Now, nice to be back, right?
It's you know, it's wonderful to be back, and it's wonderful to be back working for Les Moonves, who originally cast me and Lois and Clark as Superman. So,
oh, he did?
Yeah, he's the godfather. I kissed the ring.
Wow.
And I'm very happy to go
you
work.
You still have the Ripley, Believe It or Not, out in...
It's in syndication, but we're not making any new episodes.
You own that show, didn't you?
Yeah, my company produced it. Yeah. I owned a good portion of it, and
That was a smart dude.
I'm not unhappy about that.
Drew was telling me before you came in. He not only hosted that show, but he produced it. That's all over the place in syndication.
It is. I got a nice little check today. I was very. Yes. So let me tell you how much I love Ripley's.
Let me tell you, there ain't nothing like free money.
I would drink coffee with that damn nasty ass creamer stuff in it now, right now.
Really?
Yeah. I would. That's how happy I am.
You got that edge.
I'm happy.
Really? So you just go down to the mailbox and there's the check, right?
Actually, I never even see it. It was a phone call saying, hey, you got a check today.
Yeah.
And I said, great.
And I don't even know when the show's syndicated anymore, Ripley's, believe it or not.
It's everywhere. It depends on the local market.
It just shows up.
How many
kids
of those?
Love it.
How many of those did you do?
We did 88 one-hour episodes. We cut those into, 172
half hours?
It's been airing for 4 years.
Yeah. So we just, so they're all in half hours now, and it's just all over the place.
Oh,
I wish we could keep making them, though. I tell you, that was a...
Well, why
this
can't
is a nice
you?
Gig. Radio is a good deal. I like that, but it's not like that was 8 days a year. And
you're really gonna kill Drew now. No more talking.
That's
he's
the one.
Nuts.
That's the one you
me.
Want.
Me. That's your business.
He's half Jew. Guess which thing. Half is going nuts right now. All right, everybody. Clubhouse, which is 6 short days away from hitting the air.
Yeah.
And I haven't seen it, obviously. Thank God it's not aired yet. There's nothing worse when they have you seen the new... the TiVo doesn't go to CBS. it's a cable TiVo, you know. It does mostly pornography and Hitler stuff. It was a choice I made when I bought it. I stick with it. Who else is in this? And what's your player?
Yeah.
It, which has got to be... I mean, first off... Baseball is great because baseball you can screw around with. Like, what I mean is that other sports, like, if you're playing football, you kind of have to play. There's no, I mean, you could toss the football around, but, I mean, baseball...
You're working all the time.
Playing. Baseball, you can take some BP, you can throw some balls around.
You're talking,
you don't have
rally caps.
Yeah, you don't have to commit, you know, especially when you're making a show about
More than anything, you're not scared all the time.
Right.
Football, you got a certain amount of fear.
True.
Something's going to happen to me. Something's going to go wrong.
Well, but that's
football really is.
It's ours, too. We both love.
That's...
Yeah, same with us.
But football is a thing where, especially when you're getting a little bit older, if you're playing, you're playing. It's game on, or it's not. But it's not. There's no middle speed. You can't sort of play half speed. In baseball, you can. You don't have to kill yourself.
My son started club baseball yesterday.
At what age is that?
11.
11? Oh, wow.
Club.
Yeah.
What's that mean?
Means he plays year-round.
Oh, really?
Every day.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Right.
He's got one of those dads, you know, drives him to it.
Eating disorder. Gay with an eating disorder. Here we go.
But the thing that's so great about Clubhouse.
Quiche. Yeah.
Clubhouse is the good thing. Is one of the things you miss as an athlete is that camaraderie you get in the clubhouse. Yeah. You know, even when we got together and played those silly celebrity games, you're having a great time with the guys you know, and you're just kind of jerking around. And that's a lot of what happens and a lot of what you miss when you're out of athletics, when you're out of that professional sports. And this is one way to get back to it. We have so much fun. I mean, going to work every day, I almost feel guilty.
Where do you film? Where do you shoot it?
We shoot in Van Nuys all the...
Exteriors?
Well, the interiors. All the interiors of the club. We built a phenomenal clubhouse, better than
You just built a really nice set in Van Nuys.
Gorgeous. And
it's got to be the nicest thing in Van Nuys.
Oh, of course.
Let me tell you what, where we are, I think it's
easily
about
the nicest thing. Yeah.
Oof. And we play baseball down in Long Beach, which is a kind of a big park, actually. It's a 348 feet down the line. Dodger Stadium's 303.
So you get to take, like, batting practice.
Oh, no, I'm facing real guys.
And you're facing their swing. It's looking good.
We're playing. We got about 9 major league ball players out there every day whenever we're playing, and I'm seeing 85 miles an hour.
Oh, it's awesome.
I saw a curveball the other day.
It's awesome.
Hadn't seen one of those in a long time.
Yeah, it's like usually, you know, and Dean, you know, he's an athlete, so it works out. There's nothing worse than, you know what they do, you know, I'm watching the commercials for Mr. 3000, Bernie Max up there, takes a swing that like he probably fouled it off into his groin, if he made contact at all. Then the next scene is the outfielder climbing the wall, you know, it's just cut to that tight shot of the guy jumping up, like, first off, they only do that about one every 35 home runs. They don't climb the wall every single time ball goes out of the park. They're not even back there half the time. They're half, it clears it by 30 feet. Let me tell you, when Dean Cain hit that dinger in Rancho Cucamonga.
Between his legs.
I was playing outfield. I looked between my legs, and I saw a ball, but it was not Cain's.
You was gone. Put your mitt up, and the ball went
put
through.
Put a hole. Smoking.
The screaming line drive.
Yeah. The ball was screaming. All right. Oh, that's got to be great. That's got to be great. Just playing ball. And it's got to be realistic, so you got to play hard. Yeah, yeah. But, you know, you get as many pitches as you need to get to to crack one. You got a good-looking swing. Oh, that's... Oh.
It's a very, very good job. I enjoy the hell out of it.
Good. You're blessed.
Yes, sir.
I like when people yell at you, you're blessed, you know? You're blessed. You know you're blessed, right? Yeah, yes, I do. You are. Yes, yes, I'm blessed. Yes, you're blessed. All right, shut up.
Where'd you grow up?
I grew up in Malibu, right here.
Oh, for Christ's
sake. I know, I'm blessed.
Really,
that's it.
You're blessed.
Definitely,
you know, you're blessed.
I know, I'm blessed.
You know you're blessed. Swear you're blessed.
Yes, sir, I swear. I know I'm blessed.
Okay.
And then I went to school out here in Malibu. I went to Santa Monica High School. And then I went to college back east in New Jersey.
Right?
Princeton, yeah.
Sammo. Oh, wow. Local boy.
Local
blessed.
Boy.
Blessed. Does he know he's blessed? Hold on, Drew. Do you think he knows he's blessed?
Just by God.
Get him to admit he's blessed. Dean, you're blessed. Right?
I know. God bless it.
You're
God
blessed.
Bless
knock
me.
On, knock on.
I'm knocking
you're
on.
Blessed. You're
any,
blessed.
Whatever
you're
this
blessed.
Is.
He knows he's blessed. He should be blessed. Son of a bitch. Savannah?
Yes.
You're 23?
Yes, I am.
What's up?
I first want to say that I'm sure you get it all the time, but Dr. Drew, I loved your book, Cracked.
Oh, thanks, Savannah. I appreciate it. I don't get that all the time because Adam won't let anybody give me compliments.
Oh,
so I appreciate that.
I'm going to stop
them.
Really
they
want to do it.
No, it was really good. I just wanted to tell you.
Well, I appreciate that.
Well, thank you very much.
Hey, Savannah.
Yes.
Do you know that Dean Cain is blessed?
He is blessed. He's
blessed.
A very,
grew up
very
in Malibu,
amazing man.
Superman.
Princeton.
Probably had sex with Terry Hatcher. Now he's doing a baseball. He's doing a TV show where he gets played to play baseball. I don't even know if he knows he's doing a show. He
Wild Checks come in his
ball.
Mailbox from another show he did 6 years ago.
Oh, toughest thing he has to do is that schlep from the Malibu mailbox back to the estate with the big fat novelty check. Gets paid in the big. He gets paid in the big styrofoam.
The cardboard
ones. Yeah. Styrofoam backs ones. Huge. Big Ed McMahon's name on there. Maybe his head. Savannah?
Yes.
All right. So what's up?
I recently received, as sort of a gag gift, a vibrator for my birthday. Mm-hmm. And I tried it
your
out with my boyfriend. And
right. Tried it with your boyfriend?
Yeah.
Yes.
I've
her
never
birthday.
Used it before. And now he's really freaked out when I use it by myself.
Oh, really?
He's intimidated. He's
competition.
Jealous. It's competition. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's man cannot compete with technology.
How can you vibrate that fast?
No. Maybe if I have a seizure.
Well, if I'd been blessed, maybe. Yeah.
When I had special effects and all that stuff, I vibrated that fast.
Oh, yeah. It's the same day. I mean, you got to go through the earth. You got to vibrate, really.
I actually vibrated so fast that I released my molecular structure, but I don't want to get into that.
Oh, really? That's right. Yeah. That's right. He released it.
That was bad times, though. You know.
Oh, my God. All
right. Savannah.
Yes.
Your boyfriend's how old?
He's 22.
Are you guys still okay? You have a decent relationship? You're physically okay together?
Well, everything's fine. It's kind of annoying that...
He's just intimidated.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I just think it's kind of silly to be intimidated.
Guess what? It is.
Okay. It is. But
completely silly.
22-year-old guys sort of look for reasons to have energy with women.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
They're intimidated by anything.
Well, here's a question, though. Before she had that little toy of hers, would he be upset or jealous when she would do that on her own?
Ooh, good
no,
question.
No, I never used the vibrator up until that point.
Inquire.
I have another question. Did you have orgasms with him before?
No, I did not.
So now you only have him with the vibrator.
Well, I use it sort of as an assist as opposed to...
With him. So he's sort of, it's brought in, which is the smart thing to do.
Yeah.
But he still feels inadequate because
but it's really,
he can't
it's like,
give
like
you...
putting training wheels on your dork, though. It's a little
well,
humiliating
no, it's like bringing
to a
in,
guy.
Like bringing in a stunt dork, really.
Yeah.
Does,
so. You're going to the bullpen.
Yeah.
I tried to have him, like, use it on me so he kind of, like, is doing it as opposed to me doing it.
Yes,
but
yes.
I think maybe he feels weird about it.
Yes, he's unenlightened.
Right.
Unenlightened.
No. Here's the thing.
His expectations, he just make her orgasm.
But
look, can't.
I know. But at 22, think about where your head was at 22.
Please.
Think about all the energy you had. Now you're just sitting around hoping to die, right?
Yeah.
I mean, before it was like, you get hold of a yearbook. Think of the energy you have. What's this? Who's this dude?
Who's this? Yeah.
Who's home? He's your prom date? What'd you do with him? You know, like a crazy energy, just going through scrapbooks, looking through stuff. Always remember, just the chick would leave. He'd go start looking around.
Yeah.
You know, what's this? What's got to be something for me to get PO'd about.
And sinking, ugly feeling every time he came up to something, right?
Yes. I don't think the strategy is to try to talk guys out of that testosterone that they're chocked full of at 22 years of age. I think the idea is to lie to them. I really do. You have to treat them like pets or mental patients or something. Like when the guy says, like, how many guys you slept with before me? It's like, you know, tell me one guy. Yeah, my boyfriend of 10 years and he died in a train wreck, you know.
Yeah, Iraq.
That's it. Don't, yeah. You drove a train into, suicide train run into Fallujah. You didn't hear? No, they couldn't put it on the news. They weren't allowed to talk about special ops.
Yeah.
The point is, I really shouldn't be talking about it. That's how he died. That's he died and he's gone now. But the thing is, like, you can't get into all that stuff, you know. Oh, this is the guy who went to the proms. You get it on with him? No. We just shook hands and I slapped him in the arm like Peppermint Patty does to Charlie Brown. And we went our separate ways and they got in the train and died in Fallujah. You keep moving. Don't go, no, you're mature. You should understand. Now, guys are weird. So here's the thing. You got the vibrator. You want to use the vibrator. Use it.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Then do that thing where you slide it under your armpit, like I do after I stab a man with a shiv, and then put it in the drawer and tell him you didn't use it.
No, he uses it on herself.
He can do that. They can use it together, but she's using it alone, and it's freaking him out.
No, he's freaking out, but when she uses it with him.
I think she's freaking out when she's using it alone, too.
He's freaking out anytime
he's intimidated.
Shows its ugly head.
Here we go.
Right. Keep moving. All right, let's go. We got
moving,
let's go. Let's get it on. Let's break it down. Hey, Dean, get a hand Dean, grab a knee. Grab a knee, buddy. Hey, let me tell you this. That helmet is not a chair, gentlemen. Grab a knee. Grab a knee. Break it down. It's not a chair. Yeah. Dean Kane, the only guest who ever got a laugh out of with the helmet is not a chair.
With the high school football references.
Hey, there it is. I know it well.
Jessica?
Yeah.
Jessica? 19?
That is me. Yep.
What's up?
Nothing much. Hanging out.
All right. What's your question?
Okay. My boyfriend and I have been together for 3 years. Started having sex about a year ago. First, it was fine, no big problem, whatever. But the problem that he does have now, I guess, is that when he puts a condom on, he goes limp.
That's actually kind of a common problem.
Yeah.
And we thought at first like they were too small, so we got Magnums, and they're still, it's the same thing.
You know, first of all, Magnums are actually not bigger. They're the same around the base. Yeah, you got to use the Magnum XLs, believe it or not. The Magnums kind of taper out. They're more at the tip, but they're the same at the base.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, true enough.
Yeah, Trojan man.
So you got to go with the XL.
Magnum XLs, yeah.
All right.
Okay. So that is an excellent move on your part.
It is.
Okay. Yeah, because sometimes the restriction, sometimes it can be restrictive and be uncomfortable.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'm the opposite. If I get too much room, I get lazy. You know what I mean?
You just snooze. You just lay back.
Yeah. I like to keep my edge by feeling, you know, like I'm in a phone booth.
Right.
Penis in a phone booth. All right. Hey, Jessica, also, guy, it's the stopping, you know, you get in a zone. You get that eye of the tiger thing going, and then all of a sudden, you're up in your head. Like, you stop, you turn the light on, you're futzing around. You think about contraception, think about responsibility. There's the groove is gone. It's really the equivalent to, you know, dragging the needle along the record.
So
it's hard to get started
again. Well, there will be a condom loader invented someday.
I was trying to invent something. Yeah, here's what I tell guys to do this. I think it makes sense.
Practice.
Go to the local gay bar. They got the big fishbowl full of condoms out there.
If you say so.
Yeah, no.
I'm asking. I mean, I'm just saying.
This is my town. You know what I'm saying? I get around. No shame.
You're cool.
Just bless this kid, right? He's never been in a gay bar. He's got to go get that check.
I mean, I'd go in. But
yeah, go in.
I mean, if you would come with me.
Smart cocktail. In and out in 3 hours. What's your little Australian rules football? You know what I'm saying? I don't wear sleeves in that sport.
All right,
here's the point. You go in there, you grab a handful of the condoms, right? Or go to Planned Parenthood. Get
a
handful of these things.
Or go buy them.
All right, then go buy them. Then go home and get yourself going alone. And then while you're going, stop midstream, put one on. See how fast you do it. You got to drill. You're like a volunteer fireman.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
Then when the bell rings, you're ready. You're sliding down that pole. You drop it into the boots.
Don't even think of it.
Can I write this down real quick?
Go ahead.
Am I taking notes, guys?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I want to make sure.
Because if you think about it, the only time you put the condom on is the, once every other 4 months when you're having that weird half-drunken encounter, and you're screwed up. You don't know what you're doing. You put futzing with the thing, you know. Get used to it. Work it out. All right.
Break it down.
Dean Kane, break it down, everyone.
Break
hey,
down.
Get a hand in.
I'm in.
Get a hand in, gentlemen. And I use that term loosely. Helmet's not a chair. Not a chair. All right. Mr. Kane, not
Go
a
ladies.
Chair.
Not Sit a chair.
Sit on some bag labs. All right. Dean Kane in here, Clubhouse on CBS. It is premiering Wednesday.
No, it's premiering Tuesday. Sunday.
Wait a minute. Wait, there's a sneak thing on Sunday.
Yes. And then premiering Tuesday.
And then premiering Tuesday. Yes. Sorry. Today's Wednesday.
Was, completely
I couldn't
off.
Have been.
Wednesdays, you know.
What is there, like 700 days in a week? You know, I couldn't
three
have been that
Tuesdays.
Far off. Yeah. Which Tuesday? All right. Now, let me get this straight. I want to give it a good plug. It premieres on Tuesday, September 28th, 9 p.m. on CBS. And there is a sneak preview on Sunday.
Yes, yeah, Sunday at
9
8,
o'clock.
At 9 o'clock, okay.
Yeah, watching football games, and then, well, that's what it says, Sunday night.
I'll buy it.
We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. Adam, it's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. Dean Kane in tonight.
Blessed.
Blessed. Dean, do you know you're blessed?
Yes, sir.
You're blessed.
Blessed.
You do know that.
I do
you?
Know that.
You understand that you're blessed?
Yes, sir.
So you'll admit you're blessed?
Yes, sir. I'll admit it openly.
You'll confide in me that you're blessed?
Yes.
Okay. It reminds me of when, I don't know why that is. That's a 50-something-year-old chick realtor move. You're blessed, sweetie. Uh-huh. Yes, you are. Okay. Just take your commission.
Susie,
get
you're
out
blessed.
Here. Drew, one time, his kids came over to my house, one of my homes. I'm blessed, too. Literally a millionaire. They came over, and I had to build them a little soap, not the soapbox derby, but the little pine derby racer thing. You know, the Cub Scouts, the little wheels on it. They put the weight on it. Goes down the track. And I busted out the bandsaw or something and cut it out. Did a little work for him. And handed it back to him. And Drew said, tell him thanks. And they're like, he said thanks. Tell him thanks. I tell me he doesn't. Just you thank Mr. Carolla. I don't want to thank him. And I was like, "Hey, Drew, you yelling at it takes just a little off it when you start hitting your kid and screaming thank him, and then he turns around and thanks me. It's not as sincere.
Sincere.
It's not the same. We lose the moment just a little bit if you're beating him with a loafer and screaming thank him. So who's it for? It's not for me anymore. It's for the kids, right? You're training the kids. You're using me as like a milk bone to train the kids, right?
Of course. Of course.
Always.
That's how it works.
And by the way, you wouldn't piss mad at me if they hadn't said thanks.
Thanks.
They didn't thank me for that.
Busted the bandsaw out, Drew. That's all I'm saying.
It's a kid thing. I watched a Dr. Phil special tonight.
Drew angry.
And my wife was
Drew hates
all the way.
Dr. Phil.
I hate Dr.
It's
Phil.
His arch nemesis.
I can't argue with that. I can't.
But he,
I see that.
He had a thing tonight with a kid that was so profoundly disturbed.
I mean, yeah.
But listen.
He had that big special where they had a kid, and they did this thing where it's like 14 points to see if your kid's going to be a serial killer.
He has nine of them.
He has nine of them.
This was like as sick as a child.
I know. It's like Jeffrey Dahmer had seven, and
well, this kid was smearing.
By the way, who was conducting the interview with Dahmer? Why didn't they step in? Number one, number two, and I think it was a post whatever checklist. But yeah, you can't do it after the fact.
Masturbating in front of his sister.
Hitler was minus three.
Feces on the wall, banging his head, punching the walls, tearing the limbs off animals.
Perfectly normal, perfectly healthy.
Profoundly.
How about urinating in the sink?
This kid is just expressing what's going on in your family. I mean, you two got to work on your relationship. You need to spend more time. I'm thinking, oh my god, this kid.
What would you do with him, Drew?
First of all,
I was about to say. Dr. Drew, but I realize, it is Dr. Drew. I was going to choke on Dr. Phil, but yeah, I guess he's a doctor.
I would bring consultants in you'd bring people in. This kid probably is a chronic institutionalization.
At what point do you just put the kid down?
Here's the other reason the family's falling apart is they're dealing with this kid. You know, they can't, the stress of it is unbelievable.
No, I mean, it can't. Listen, I'm no doctor, but I do subscribe to the demon seed theory, which is, you know, one out of every. People are, let me explain what it's like.
Some are blessed.
Dean, blessed.
Some are blessed.
Dean, you're blessed. You know you're blessed.
Some are cursed.
Admit it.
Some are cursed.
Well, for every blessed guy, Dean taking up a parking space in the blessed lot, there's no room for this guy. He's got to go park in the cursed alley.
Yeah,
you
the
understand?
Demon seed.
Yeah. And the thing is every once in a while there's a lemon. But there's emotionally and physically.
There's people born with abnormalities.
There's cars that roll off the assembly line.
We know the orbital frontal system does not operate. They can't empathize.
Yes,
they
that kid was a
feelings.
Mess. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, really, it's a neurobiological thing that is profound. I mean, really sick and dangerous.
And here's what I'm thinking, and tell me if I'm a bad guy, but I just based on the commercial, by the way. I'm looking at this kid, and I'm thinking to myself, all right, he is screwed up in a way that I couldn't fix. And all the cuddling and timeouts and tough love and whatever.
So it feels
it's not going to do anything.
Quit your job and spend more time. And the thing, I'm like, now they're going to lose their insurance resources that they need to.
Now the kid needed to go somewhere for his safety and the safety of those in the neighborhood.
Their two little daughters were going. When he gets bigger than me, he's going to do something.
Terrifying him.
They're terribly beautiful girls. They were completely together. It's like
yeah.
And there were other families he talked to who were so disturbed for the similar kinds of reasons what he was suggesting this family was having.
Well, Drew, what would your diagnosis be then? What would you say?
I'm thinking autistic spectrum disorder or plus some real serious abuse.
Is that for the kid or for Dr. Phil?
Well, I'm thinking maybe. You know,
I was just checking.
He has baldy blowhard disorder. Very rare. Oh, that does strike one. One in five guys over 50 who drive nice cars.
It just happened. I was watching his Eat Your Hollywood Story today, and they had him saying, I practiced psychology for 6 months. These people wanted to come in and talk to me. They wanted to talk about their problems. I told them what to do in an hour. What are they? They just want a friend to complain to. I'm thinking, so feelings have no meaning. You're trained in mental health, and they have no meaning to you. That is profound narcissism.
Yeah.
Profound.
Yeah. But you know the check that Dean picked up from the...
Nothing compared to Phil's.
Phil, he needs a backloader to get that thing just up the driveway. There's a thing going, beep, beep,
blast,
beep. And he drags it along the driveway. Yeah. But I'll tell you what you got, Drew. You got peace of mind. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah. He's a good-looking guy.
It's easy on the eyes.
Yeah, it's easy on the
very
eyes.
Easy. Very easy.
You guys are both scaring me.
Not that I've ever been to a gay bar.
No.
Bowls of condoms.
Well, we're going to watch Australian rules football there. And I'm going to show Dean something they don't... A little clubhouse move I know that's not probably going to be depicted on CBS. Yeah. It involves a glory hole.
Oh, okay. I thought it was a cue.
Let's keep moving. Good. Lola?
Yeah?
What's happening?
Hey, first I wanted to say that I've been listening to you guys for like 6-7 years, and Adam, you're a comedic genius, Dr. Drew, you are a physician of great passion, so I really appreciate listening to you guys. I think you guys are wonderful.
Thanks.
We're getting set up for something here.
Go on. Here we go.
But...
No, my question is that for the last like 5 years, I really wanted to get into the adult film industry, like directing.
I see, this show has had a tremendous impact on you.
Yes.
Directing, producing, and possibly acting in it, and I'm wondering how safe it is to get in it and to stay in it, just if it's how tough safe. To get in it, stuff like that.
Well, I don't think you get to just, as a 20-year-old female, I don't think you get to just... put on the beret and the headphones and slide behind the camera and start directing movies.
I would think people have...
You got to do a minimum of like 1,500 before they let you be a grip.
But no, I would imagine people have a stranglehold in this business. You know, people don't...
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There must be people that just kind of control this business.
Yeah, because just a handful of people. And but the internet has opened things up, I imagine. Mm-hmm. But what do you mean producing, directing, writing? First off,
right.
You've seen a porn script.
The writing.
5-hour movies, 3 pages. Really is. Barry Lyndon of porn. I don't know what the porn name for Barry. That'd be horrible. Making porn titles out of little-known 70s.
Yeah, little-known. It's a Kubrick film.
Engineer Chris, ever hear of the movie Barry Lyndon?
Who starred in it?
No, he doesn't remember it.
Who starred in it?
I don't remember who starred in it, but I know it.
Okay. Yeah.
What was it
Stanley
about?
Kubrick.
All right. He started. All right. And look at Dean. Blessed. Princeton grad.
He's never heard of it.
Fine thespian.
Never heard of it.
All right. Where the hell were we?
Ryan O'Neill.
Yeah. Ryan O'Neill. That's right.
Rolling over in his...
He's alive.
Rolling over in his...
Barker Lounger. Hey, Lola.
Yeah?
Oh, I mean, who are we talking to? Lola. I don't... it's weird to aspire to break into this adult films without actually just being in them.
Also, but it kind of means something, too. So what's up?
What do you mean?
What's up?
Something's going on.
Like, was I sexually abused? Was I physically abused?
Yeah, most chicks are kind of grossed out by it, to tell you the truth. And the only ones that really sort of turned on to it are ones that, dad was a little weird or something.
Yeah, well, you know.
What happened?
We come from an abusive household. Just sexually abused once. That I can remember.
All right.
How about as opposed to seeking your solutions through porn, being in porn, which has never, by the way, maybe Jenna Jameson accepted and solved anything for anybody. I'm getting some treatment.
I've been in therapy for the last, like, 4 years, 5 years.
And are you talking to your therapist about your plan here to be in pornography?
I'm not entirely. Sometimes I've brought it up just in passing.
Well, why don't you go ahead and bring it up in full swing.
What do you do now, by the way?
I'm graduating from Reed.
From what? From Reed?
Yeah, in Portland,
Reed.
Oregon.
Yes, Reed.
Do you go there, Drew? Junior college?
No, no. No, no, it's university.
I just smoke a lot of weed over there?
No. Oh. Yeah. No, right. I'm a biochem major.
Yeah, it's a good school.
Wow.
It's a good school.
Biochem major wants to get into porn?
Just because she was abused doesn't mean she can't be smart.
All right. Well, listen, don't be stupid if you're smart, Lola. You know what I'm saying? You're blessed. You understand?
No, I know.
Minus the sexual abuse part. You're blessed. You understand?
Yeah.
All right, so focus on your studies. This is going to, by the way, you don't have any ins or any connections. And let me tell you, the porn industry is not actually blossoming in Portland, Oregon. You
don't
have to go out
there. People don't make money doing that. People that own the companies make money, not the people that perform in these things.
That's right.
I really wanted to move down to LA and do some work down there, possibly. But
you just, no, you'll please do. Don't. Promise me this one thing. Do whatever you want, but tell your therapist your little plan here, okay? Please?
Yep.
All right, and listen, everyone, stop moving to L.A., please. I can barely get home at night. All you idiots looking at
it's gotten worse this year, didn't it?
I'll tell you what it is.
We're getting older and just getting...
We're getting older. I'm getting crotchety. I'm angry. I yelled beat it at some kids that were near my lawn today.
No, you did not.
Stay away from that lawn, you kids. Helmet's not a chair. Oh, wait a minute, wrong guy. But here's the thing, seriously. L.A., I've realized, is filled with people who either... are not from L.A. and from lands that you haven't even heard of. I mean, these people were driving water buffaloes and yaks and crap.
Yes, there's that.
A few years ago. Yeah. So you got people that aren't used to driving anything. And let me explain something to Dean over here. We got a lot of people in Los Angeles.
Do not offend Dean's heritage.
I'm not, because I know he's part Japanese.
That's right.
Yes, that's where he gets his tenacity.
There we go. But the Asian folks.
No, not going after the Asians.
Yeah. They're not the best drivers
he was prepared to, but
let me tell you something. I have no quarrel with the Asians. They're way down on my list. I got many, many groups to get to before I get to the Asians. Here's what I'm saying. People say, why don't we do better in soccer as a country? And then the answer is, well, we have great athletes and everything. Why can't we do better? Well, these other countries have been playing for generations. For us, it's a relatively new thing. It's going to take a while. Yes, but our guys can run faster. Yeah, but it doesn't matter. These guys, their fathers and their fathers' fathers and their fathers' fathers' fathers were playing. That's how it is with driving. We've been driving out here in the United States. Some of these other kooky nationalities in here, they weren't driving. Their dads weren't driving. Their parents weren't driving. They got mopeds with outboard motors on them and, three wheels. It's catch-as-catch-can in some of these countries. And there's no laws. It's every man for themselves. Everything's just some two-stroke, Cuisinart engine on this thing. And it's blowing smoke everywhere. And it's being pulled by three dogs, It's a disaster. Now, they don't come from it. They don't have the heritage that we have with the automobile. Now, once in a while, you get a guy from Germany. All right. He's been driving for 100 years.
And
fine.
Fast.
And fast. All right. That's a guy you get behind. But then you get behind someone from, Da Nang, and look out. There's going to be trouble. So, Los Angeles, ton of that. And then, secondly, bunches of people from around the country aren't familiar with the terrain. Looking over the shoulder. Yes.
Guys from New York and Boston.
They're from Buffalo, and it's snow. 6 months out of the year, you couldn't even find your car. It was buried out in the driveway somewhere. And then the other time, most of the time you drove, you were drunk. You had to look out for the cops. And then so I don't know where I am. Where should I go? Where's the freeway? I don't know the signs. So, and then there's a lot of people visiting out here. So everyone's just driving around with their head on a swivel, looking around. Where am I? Looking for landmarks, looking at a Thomas guide, haven't driven. That's what we're running into here. We're not running into the people that know the route.
It's interesting. That whole visitor thing is something we have not.
Oh,
that's
had trouble.
Until recently.
That's
then.
Trouble.
That's more recent.
Here's
right?
the thing, too.
So since Hollywood kind of cleaned up, it seems like people are kind of coming out.
They're coming back.
It.
And, yeah. and especially if, I work down at Kimmel over there.
That damn Kimmel guy cleaned it up over there. Right in the middle.
Put it right in the middle. And he cleaned up the city single-handedly.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's why we love Jimmy Kimmel. Festival advertised on television.
San Gennaro Feast,
Ralph
everybody.
Presents.
It's a big deal. Yeah.
Who pulled that one off?
The Paisans did. That's who pulled them off. The Japanese or whatever the hell you are. Tell you that right now.
You don't even know what I am, do you?
I don't care. I don't know.
You read my book.
I haven't read your book.
It's been out for a year.
Only a year. That's what I'm saying.
You probably read the little inside cover, inside flap.
No. Back cover?
No,
because you know what happens? I'll tell you what happens, Dean. You pick up the book with the intent of, I'm just going to read the slug line at the front here. Next thing you know, you're in a page three. You know what I mean? I can't chance that. I can't chance it. Dean Cain, everyone, blessed. You know you're blessed?
Yes, sir.
He's blessed. Drew, you realize he's blessed?
He is blessed.
Do you know that I know Dean's blessed?
I do now.
Okay. We'll take a quick break, Clubhouse. Name of the new TV show, CBS, Tuesday nights, 9 o'clock. Preview this Sunday on CBS. Take a quick break. Be right back. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam, that's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Oh, guess who's coming in tomorrow night? Rich Eisen from the NFL channel. Dean's going to miss that. And then Korn and Interpol and Seth MacFarlane after that from the Family Guy coming back. Drew, you did Family Guy.
I did it, yep.
All right.
And Seth did all the voices for my kids.
Oh, he did.
He did Quagmire. Cool. He does Quagmire.
Oh, those kids.
He did Peter, and Alex was there. She read with me.
Alex Borstein.
Yeah, and yeah. She did some Lois for him.
Different Lois.
Good times.
Dean Cain here. Totally different. Dean
is Lois?
Yeah. Different Lois.
Is that her name?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's Lois Clark, right?
And no, Lois. But I mean it's Lois. Yeah. I'm Peter's wife.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Dean is here talking about Clubhouse, which is going to be on CBS, 9 o'clock, Tuesday nights, and a big sneak preview premiere, half sneak preview on Sunday, 9 o'clock on CBS. Yes, Drew. Dean stars as Scott Peterson in the USA movie, The Perfect Husband. Really killed her, huh? Mediocre at best.
Did you film this already?
We filmed this already. It aired.
What happened? Does anybody? Did you learn, or does anybody ask the question? What happened when they closed that business across from Cal Poly Pomona? They had a restaurant that thriving, extremely successful, and one day they moved to Modesto for no reason. Be near the parent? Yeah, sure.
Hey, look, man, I just played the character.
But there was no research or anything that
we did, and I was very careful in playing that role not to learn too much. Mm. I played him innocent in my mind, but not the brightest bulb. I mean, if you watch some of his interviews, the things that he said, it came off like a bad actor. So I figured no matter how bad a job I did playing him, I'd look great.
Look just like him.
I'd look just like him, exactly.
Dean did eerily look like him, too, by the way. Mm. I mean, you don't think of Dean Cain when you think of Scott Peterson, but when you saw him in the... hairstyled that way, or I don't know, wearing just a court suit or something, it really looked like it. What do they do? I mean, they do this in movies, you know, they make Val Kilmer become Jim Morrison. They're not using prosthetic, you know, chin clefs. How do they do it? You don't look that much like the guy. How do they do that? They style the hair, they put the clothes on, but then what?
Then the actor has to do the job and pick up the little things that this person does, the way they speak, their mannerisms, the way they phrase words, the way they move, sort of all that stuff. And I'd say that Val Kilmer did a little bit better job playing Jim Morrison than I did playing Scott.
No, he did not. Kilmer should have played Scott Peterson.
No, I'd like to see that.
And you play Morrison, yeah. Yeah. To me, I don't know. To me, see, I always say that would be the hardest thing to do, to play somebody else. You know, it's one thing you just play a part. Oh, you're grizzled, streetwise New York cop. All right, I'll just do whatever I want with it, you know. But the idea that you're playing somebody that people know and know very well and see all over the news and they see him and they hear him talk, you screw that up. It's like when you do an impersonation or an impression, you do a bad one, everyone starts laughing at you.
Truth. Right? I was actually terrified of that, and I thought I might be terrible. But
you weren't.
It turned out okay.
It worked out. All right. See, story had a happy ending, Drew.
He's blessed.
Drew, you know that Dean knows that I'm aware that he's blessed, right?
I know now. Nicole. Huh? I knew before, actually.
Nicole?
Yes?
You're 20.
Hi. I have a little bit of a problem. I had a boyfriend of 2 years from the ages of like 17 to 19, and it just turned 20. We broke up 8 months ago, and he he actually wet the bed quite a bit at night. And it didn't bother me because I loved him and I just dealt with it. But now I'm starting to wet the bed. And
really?
I have a, yeah.
Pathetic bladder disorder.
Homage.
I know it's not contagious, but I think it's like my state of mind. But for the past like month, I mean, we've been broken up for like 8 months. For the past month, I've been wetting the bed at night.
All right. We got to dig into
how
this.
How often?
We got to take a break.
All right. Nicole, how often?
At least maybe once or twice a week.
Wow.
So yeah.
A bit much for a 20-year-old. All right, I have my own bedwetting stories I can share with the folks. Dean Cain, blessed. Dean Cain, get a hand.
Not blessed by this habit, unfortunately.
No,
unfortunately
no, not been touched.
But the hand of God touched you as it pertains to this.
Yes. And I'll shed some light on her urine after this. Buddy, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dean Cain, blessed. Dean Cain, so blessed, so very blessed. Dean Cain in studio tonight. Clubhouse, name of his new show, CBS, 9 o'clock on Tuesday nights. Big sneak preview on Sunday night. Dean and I were speaking during the break about vomiting. And Dean tells of a white wine-related vomit story. Turned out I may have been vomiting at the exact same time that Dean was vomiting. You know, ships in the night.
Who knew?
He was on the other side of town vomiting. I was in North Hollywood vomiting. He was in Malibu vomiting.
But he had the blessed parking spot and you had the cursed parking spot.
That's
difference.
Now you tell us your white wine chugging vomit story, please.
Yeah, my buddy and I, we broke into his dad's stash of, I believe it was Almaden Mountain Chablis, and it was a jug the size of a keg.
Yeah, they used to put them in those huge glass jugs with the gold screw top.
Yeah, and we decided to...
With the finger, like the moonshine.
Yeah, sling it over your shoulder.
It really felt like a moonshine jug. And we drank a bunch of that, and it didn't taste very good going down, and it didn't taste very good at all coming back up. So it's taken me a long time.
Yeah, it's tough to get back on.
But now, on a really hot day, at about 6 o'clock in the afternoon, a nice crisp white wine is okay.
Yeah,
the thing. You're a champion. A lot of guys walk away, they never get back on that bottle. Not you, my friend.
If I see a jug, though, I'm running.
You're not going to let that bottle lick you.
So to speak.
Climb right
so
back on that thing. Yeah, I was having trouble chugging beer when I was, 11. No, I was, 16, 17. And the beer was too, the carbonation. I used to say the guys who were putting all the peer pressure on me, it's the bubbles. I can't take
it. Plus, it was Mickey's Big Mouth.
Yeah.
Yep, I remember those.
No finer brew than Mickey's Big Mouth. So, finally, we had a buddy named Chet. And Chet worked at the AM/PM on the corner.
The
Chet would not he would not steal for us. He just wouldn't mind if we stealed in front of him or stole in front of him. So we would just go in and steal. And somebody stole the big jug of white wine. And I remember them pouring it into tumblers. Ugh. Just a tumbler of white wine. And my thing is, like, I'd been talking the whole time about, well, it was the carbonation. Now, this doesn't have any carbonation. It was just sort of sweet. Crappy, but you could chug it. It wasn't like you can't chug hard liquor because it's the alcohol content's too high. And beer eventually starts sort of burning your throat, especially when you're 16. But the sweet white wine just chugged it down like it was Kool-Aid. Couple of tumblers of that heaved in the back of a car. Not only on myself, but on John Tyler, the guy who went and stole the jug of booze, and then crawled up my driveway and heaved in the driveway.
Is this the way you woke up the next morning with gravel attached to your
face? Gravel in my face, yes. I fell asleep out in the driveway. The Corollas have old asphalt driveways, you know what I mean? And I woke up with part of the driveway
the
stuck in my cheek.
Show up and just start poking at you with a nightstick.
I was mostly in the bushes, so I was fine.
Yeah. Hey, listen, before we talk to Nicole, her bedwetting story, I want to talk to somebody from Sacramento who wants to set us straight, or tell us the Scott Peterson, complete the story.
Oh, really?
Yeah, sounds
all
like
right.
They'll know more than me.
Kara?
Yes.
Kara?
Nice to meet you guys. Kara.
You're 25? Yeah. Kara, wow. What's up?
Okay, first of all, it's Cal Poly San Luis Obispo.
Oh, what did I say? Pomona?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
I said Pomona? No, it's weird because I was thinking San Luis too because I know it's where they're from.
Okay, one of my roommates worked for Scott Peterson at the restaurant, and my other roommate's fiance bought the place that they sold. but wow. there was an owner in between, so
okay.
he didn't directly talk to them. He was screwing around in San Luis big time, but he was kind of quiet about it, not as flagrant as he is now or was now.
Screwing around with girls, with college kids. Like.
Yes. Yeah. But she was the feisty one.
Oh, really?
Oh, she was nuts, I'm sure of it.
Really, I mean, no, super nice and stuff, but she, I was nuts. In there one time and people were underage drinking and she got in some faces.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. Right. She was a feisty one. He was kind of the quiet, whatever.
Yeah, I could tell she was six kinds of like borderline. I mean, really? You think who he is and who he'd be with.
Yeah, but guys like that can fool women sometimes.
They need to be with that
he
guy.
He always had some, not that I ever saw firsthand, but he always had some on the side.
All right. And why did they sell the business?
Yeah, the business was thriving. Why did they suddenly just bail
out? It
wasn't
thriving. It was doing well, but it wasn't thriving at all. It's hard. It's a small town. No one, you know.
All right. So they just wanted to go do something else.
Tired. And I think she wanted to go back and be by her family.
Oh, so really is what happened. All right.
All right. Okay.
Look at that.
Okay,
thanks,
Radar.
Night,
guys.
Night. Let's see. Power Radio. Now we're going to talk to someone who's whizzing on themselves. Nicole?
Yes.
You're 20?
Yes.
All right. So your boyfriend used to wet the bed.
Yes.
And now he's out.
Yes.
And now you bet the bed twice a week.
Yeah. I have never had this problem in my life, and all of a sudden he's out of my life, and I'm doing it like I caught a cold or something.
You caught bedwetting
like
from him.
An idiot.
Gave it to her. Did you just use the F word?
I don't think so.
Did I say the F word?
No, you didn't use the F word, did you?
No, absolutely not.
Okay.
I thought she said
exactly
like
what someone
idiot.
Who just used the F word would say.
Yes.
But here's the thing. I don't care. Nicole, here's what you got to do.
Let's figure out what's going on for her. Are you on any medication?
No. I'm not even on birth control, so.
Could you possibly have a urine infection or something that's triggering this?
You know what? I used to get yeast infections all the time, but I know it's not a yeast infection. I don't have any symptoms of it being a yeast infection, and I don't have a problem urinating on a daily basis, so.
So no, it doesn't hurt when you urinate or burn, anything of that sort?
No, not at all.
Okay.
All right. And now let me start with my advice.
And one last thing. Do you think that this is some sort of attempt to recapture this guy, you know, sort of you're dealing with, did his leaving, was it a very painful thing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it was my choice.
I understand, but is this sometimes
he cheated or something, right?
No, nothing.
He was
like
whizzing
that.
In other women's beds, yes?
I don't know. So, I have no idea.
All right, well, why was it your choice? I mean, if it was so painful, why didn't you just stay with him?
His mother, to be quite honest. He was, quite attached to his mother, and she was making it painful to continue the relationship.
Attached to mom, shocking.
Just a surprise.
Well, yeah. All right, so, really? So you dumped him because he couldn't, he sort of had to choose between you and mom, and he chose mom?
No, not at all. Mom would set him up, or we would be at Christmas dinner, Thanksgiving dinner, and she would purposely invite little girls over to the house to, you know, she'd set the table and sit them next to him, and he wouldn't stand up for me. She'd sit there and bash me the entire time, and I'd, you know...
Hold on a second, nutjob.
Reenactment. So it's because he had to choose between you and mom, and he chose mom?
No. He'd come over for Christmas dinner, and they'd invite little girls over? What did that mean?
Women to cause them to
stray. Well, she would invite like, girls around the block who were 16 years old over to Thanksgiving dinner, and she would... Andrea, this is my son Scott, and I wanted you to meet him. And the entire time, it was like a setup, like a date or something. And it was really uncomfortable.
Nicole,
yeah.
You're getting nuttier. You're sounding nuttier as the syllables wear on. Yeah, that's stupid. I don't understand what this means. I don't believe you though. I think you're paranoid about this.
I'm
anyway.
Not.
Something's up. Something's up with your radar. You're not reading things right.
Yeah.
I mean, look, maybe she's a piece of work. Maybe he is, but I don't know. He invite you over for Christmas and then bring in neighborhood girls and sit them next to him and try to set them up with teenagers while she berated you? That sounds delusional.
It's not. This woman's been married like 6 times.
Let me say this.
Speaks volumes about the kind of woman that
I got to speak. I'm speaking in broad terms here. People tell us this all the time. Like this crazy person, they did this, and you go, "Wow, that's so incredibly out of line." So here are your two choices: A, the person did do that, is that far out of line, and is that way, and then B, you they are, and you went over there. And you continued to go over there.
Right.
You continued to sort of put you climb into the lion's den this way and be knocked around. Like, no, you say to your partner, look, your mom, she's a nut job. I'm not going over there. Yeah. No, last time I was over there, I was very uncomfortable. I'm not going over there this Thanksgiving. So some either way, it sort of ends up falling in your lap, or you're sort of delusional and paranoid, and you're creating this fantasy, which you think is true, but we don't believe you. I think it's probably a little each, but I don't know why you have to dance with these people. They're screwed up. They're nutty. Why do you got to go over there and dance with them?
Well,
Nicole?
He lived with his mother.
All right. And, so he comes over to your place. Wets your bed. Brings a turkey. Takes a whiz on the stuffing and then,
Oh, my God.
Why do you have to go? Yeah. All right. He lived there. So, fine. You don't have to go over there. You don't like her.
He was just extremely. I can't handle a boy who's extremely attached to his mother.
Okay. All right. Why not?
So, that was one of my problems.
Why not? Why can't you handle that?
Where's your mom?
My mom's working.
Heavy.
I'm extremely dependent, and it's hard for me to. He constantly wanted to hang out with his family, which is good, and he's extremely close with his brothers, and they all live at home.
Did your mom neglect you growing up?
Foster.
A little bit, but you know, I'm not gonna feel sorry for myself.
No, you're not. You're just gonna take it out on all men, you did.
Probably.
Wow, heavy. We're getting somewhere. What was your mom doing? Working the whole time you were young?
Yeah, my mom started her own gymnastics school.
Uh-oh, eating disorder. Keep going.
I wish I had an eating disorder.
Your mom had
No, my mom started her own gymnastics school. My dad was out of the picture when I was 2, and then she got remarried to a wonderful guy when I was 4.
All right.
So you liked your stepdad?
I love him, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right, so here's the thing, Nicole. Here's how you stop wetting the bed. You ready? I'll give this to Dean, because...
He needs this.
He's gifted.
Yeah. Dean's his son does a little bed wetting, and even the Man of Steel will rust his drawers every once in a while, you know?
I handle it very simply with a little nighttime diapers for the kid.
Oh, really?
That's what I do.
They have the nighttime diapers? That's good, right?
It's the pull-ups.
Yep.
They put the pull-ups on them? Mm-hmm. All right.
And it's good for me.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to tell you how to save yourself money on the diapers, even though, like I said, with the novelty size check coming every other week from the Ripley's people, you don't need it. But here's what you do. You get yourself... I'm going to talk to Nicole here. Nicole, get one of those digital timers from the store. You can get them at the food store. You can get them at the grocery market. You can get them at the Thrifties, the Save-On, whatever, the Rite Aid, whatever it is. They're little digital ones. They take a AAA battery and tink, tink, tink. Press the thing for like, I don't know, it doesn't matter when you go to bed. Just hit this thing for like 4 hours. You know what I mean? It's a little digital thing. Tink, tink, tink. Hit it. It'll go off in 4 hours. When it goes off, you get up and take a leak. If you get up and it's wet, the next night you set it for 3 hours. But you just get up and take a leak, you get back in bed, you won't wet the bed.
Okay.
Okay.
Because you're never going to do that.
No.
Okay.
Because it means leaving the boyfriend once and for all.
Can you do that? Or are you going to do what I told you to do?
Absolutely. It's kind of embarrassing. Embarrass myself.
I'm telling you, the whole bedwetting thing, because I used to wet the bed, and my grandpa cured me.
You talked about it. Make sure there's not something else going on with her real quick.
No, I'm done with her.
Just quickly.
No.
Are you drinking a lot of fluids?
No, I'm not.
You're not thirsty all the time.
She's done. She's fine.
Yeah, we haven't established really what she may need a medical evaluation.
All right.
It's a dream. It's not like I don't feel
you dream
like
you're
it's
on
like
the
a
toilet.
State.
But it's, you're not thirsty all the time.
No, I'll like wet the bed. I'll wake up right after I do it. I roll over and immediately I think he's in the bed with me. Like it can't possibly be me in the bed.
Wow.
And I wake over and I roll over and no one's there and I'm like.
Oh,
see, she actually never use a four-letter word. Never, not Nicole. How dare you?
She yelled the holy ass. All right. Let's cut our losses.
But why do I feel like Nicole's got something
going on?
Mega going on with her.
Absolutely mega. Something going on.
Yeah, so.
Absolutely.
All right.
Absolutely. Can feel it.
Okay.
All right. Okay, so you wake up, you take a leak, you go back to bed, you don't wet the bed. It's as simple as that.
Medication. I gotta poke.
Maybe he never wet the bed, and it was just confusion.
Yeah, maybe it was her all along. Ooh, Dean, using that Princeton education.
Yeah, I tell you,
smart thinking outside of the box.
Absolutely.
Room. Okay.
Here we go.
No, I'm done with her. Brisa.
Uh huh.
You're 21.
I am.
What's up?
Well, my question is basically, I'm going into the Air Force in about 2 months, November 29th.
Yeah.
And yeah, and I wanted to know if there was something I can take. I was thinking maybe the Depo-Vera shot for, I don't want to get my period while I'm in there, basically.
Well, you're going through boot camp and stuff?
Yeah. Boot camp is 6.5 weeks long for the
airplane. Yeah, you don't need the embarrassment when you're climbing that wall. You know what I mean?
Bad time.
Yeah, that's bad.
But yeah. Depo would
it's
actually be...
That I get it here, so...
Depo would actually be the last thing you'd want to do, because the first 3 months after you take that
just
shot,
bleed.
You bleed continuously. It's the second. It's the second 3 months that the period usually stops.
Let me tell you. Let me say this: people who sign up during wartime should get a bump that stays with them.
Yeah.
I mean, because let's face it, half the military. I hate to say this, but a lot of these guys are just slackers. They don't have a choice. They don't have the brains of you and Dean Cain. They weren't going to college. They didn't have any work. They whatever. So screw it. I'll go join up with the Army. And, you know, like when I was in high school, you go join up the Army. There's nothing going on. They'll pay you. You do a little training. You hang out. You get the three squares in a cot, and you're fine. Yeah, it's no problem. But joining up during wartime, that's like, and that's something. That's a little something different, especially if you join the Marines right now, there'd be a good chance you'd be shipped out in a few months. I'm guessing. Mm-hmm. So whatever you join it, like it should be like it should have a scale. Like if you join during wartime, you get 30% more even 2 years after it's done.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
I agree.
Yeah. A little incentive, too, by the way.
Your taxes are now going up.
I said, think about the difference between joining the Army when there's no war and not going to be a war, and then joining the Army when there is a war.
Yeah.
I mean, one of them is hang out stateside, see if you can get deployed in Hawaii or something, and keep it cool, learn how to work on missiles. And the other one is I might get killed. Yes?
It's a big deal.
Yeah. And especially since we're not fighting in any desirable places anymore. You know, there was a time when
maybe
we could
Vietnam?
Go, well, no, but I mean, you go to Grenada.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
That was Panama.
Hey, we got to go to Panama. Who wants to go to Panama? Grenada. Oh, we have to kick a little ass, and then we're going to relax. Now you're up there, you got these scorpions everywhere. The chicks are wearing bedspreads on their head. There's a camel crap. It's a big dust bowl. It's 170 degrees. Hey, I mean, that's bad. Vietnam, at least, you know, go buy a little hash, bang a hooker. You know what I mean? You got nothing over there. You see what I'm saying?
Good times.
Yeah, it's good times.
So, Breeza, what you should do is go on the birth control pill and just take it continuously.
And actually, right before I leave?
You can start any time. They actually have a packet now that is continuous for 3, 4, 6 months at a time.
Really?
And there's no reason you have to have your period. You just take the pill continuously. I forget the name of the product, but there's one out there that's actually packaged in such a way, I think it's 3 months at a time.
Are you say you're going into the Navy?
No, Air Force.
Air Force. What are you doing? What are you going to do in the Air Force?
Security Force.
Security?
Yeah.
Wow.
You have to pick what you're going to do as you enlist?
Yeah, that's what they do. They do it. And by the way, let me tell you what happened with the Corolla mental weight scale. First, start off at 128 pounds. Then I found out her name was Breeza. And I bulked her up to about 145, 150. Then I heard Air Force, pow, she went to 165. And then when I heard security, boom.
Pushing two bills.
205. Pushing two. Pushing two. Good junior college linebacker size. Maybe outside backer. Got wheels, you know, not the size you like. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Breeza?
Yeah.
You big gal?
No, I'm actually not.
Really? Well, because let me tell you something. Wait till you get into the security. Because security pants for female security, they only come an extra huge ass, and then you have to fight to fill it out.
Well,
they don't make skinny ones. It's just huge ass size ones. That's all they make. That's what it is. It's like, you know how
a
goldfish will get as big as the tank it's in.
Of course.
An ass will get as big as the pants it gets stuffed into.
You know what? And I knew I was going to get drilled by you. I knew it.
Hey. If you can't take this, sweetie, you don't belong in this man's Air Force.
I can take it just because I love you. That's the only reason.
All right. There you go. All right, sweetie P.
What a rejoinder.
That's tough love. That's fine. So you're gonna be like an MP?
It's like an MP, but the Air Force likes to call it security forces for whatever reason, you know.
And you do that for like 4 years, and then you get out and you start getting in, you join in like a municipal police department?
My plan or my goal at this point is to do some sort of law enforcement, yeah.
All right. And by the way, let me just say this. Sure. You're a chick, right?
I am.
Do you got a nationality you can cash in on, you know?
Sure, I'm Hispanic.
Hispanic. Oh. All right. Chick, Hispanic, You should be able to
job
just,
now.
You should walk right into LAPD headquarters and go like, I'm taking over. I want to be the chief.
And I'm bilingual, so.
Oh, bilingual.
Yeah.
So here's what I'm saying. Why do the Navy thing? Why not just go into the academy or the Air Force thing? Why not just go to the academy?
I like to have stuff in my resume. I just don't like to march into places and be like, hire me, I'm a minority, you know?
Oh, I appreciate that. Stupid, but I respect it. No, I know, but look, you're on the ball. I mean, I'm serious. I'm saying, you know, you're bilingual, yeah. You're female, you're Hispanic, you could go into almost any police department around the country and probably get hired on.
I agree with you, but I like to fill up my resume with good stuff, so.
God bless her.
I tried that. I tried to get on the, fire department on here. I went out there. I said, my name's Marisol, and I wore eyelashes. and I fanned myself. And the guy said, you're a chick? And I went, fresh! And I hit him with that. The thing was like Bugs Bunny. Yeah, there's a good movie. That's Dean's next movie.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Affirmative Action. Tries to get
That's
on.
A great name for a film.
Affirmative Action. Affirmative Action.
Oh,
yeah, okay. Here's what we do in Affirmative Action. We do it. They've done it in a few movies, but never with Affirmative Action. You're a white guy. You did Scott Beard. You play Scott. You can do white.
He's
do
a white guy.
You do white. You're a white guy who's been trying to get on the Los Angeles Fire Department for a number of years now, but nothing. The test dates come and go. You never get anything. You know, you're way at the back of the list. They got enough white guys over there. They got to get some other nationalities to fill it out. You finally realize this, and that's where you go as Marisol, the fast-talking, sassy Hispanic woman.
And busty.
Huge novelty bust. And so you go in, you test, and you get put on a firehouse. And the fire captain, older white guy, drunk, always hitting on you. I like that, too. I like when the drunken boss goes, well, look at you. And the guy's got a name like Fredalina. It's so fetching. And the guy's like, is Fred Flintstone wearing a dress? Like, really? That's hot? That's hot to you? Yeah, I'm gonna hit huge calves, a big 10-gallon head.
Can't control himself.
Yeah. Oh. Okay. But then... let's see. So you trust. There's one guy in the firehouse who knows your secret. He's secretly gay.
Ah.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Secretly.
So
shared
you both
secrets.
Have shared
yeah.
secret. Shared secret. And then the mother of all fires breaks out. A mattress warehouse. Nothing but mattresses. A huge pyramid of mattresses going there. And I don't know. I haven't worked out all the beats. You got to use your bra somehow at the end.
You got to pull a man out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Affirmative action. Yeah. True. You writing any of this down?
I got it. It's in my head. Are you kidding? It's pure genius.
Thank you. Dean Cain in the studio tonight. Going to be in Clubhouse coming up. That's his TV gig, but the big screen. Look for him in Affirmative Action.
Yes.
Coming soon. As Marisol. Yeah, Marisol Hernandez. And fresh! Hits with the fan all the time. Bang.
Fresca. Yeah. Wait, Marisol's got a Rosie Perez's voice, though.
Yeah.
No?
Yeah, no, that works.
Yeah, perfect.
We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Engineer Chris, give me the finger. That's nice. Pow! We're on the air. Yeah, looking good, buddy. Doing good tonight? Yeah,
yes.
Looking good.
Viewer medicine?
Yeah. We got, hold on. Engineer Chris. No? you know the difference between veal and venison, yeah? They went through it? Okay.
Doesn't remember, but we went through it.
All right. You don't remember that we went through it, huh?
No.
Okay. Here's my point. We got quite a, we got a nice range here tonight because we got Amherst.
Yeah.
And then we got Princeton
yeah.
on one side of the table. And over here... We got what junior college?
Junior college.
Which junior college?
Oh, ELAC.
ELAC?
Yeah.
Where's ELAC?
Novelty funny.
Yes.
Where's ELAC?
Junior college made fun of ELAC.
Monterey Park?
We got ELAC, and we got LA Valley College over
here.
Well,
that's right. You did actually complete a little junior college. Didn't you?
I was put on academic probation at a junior college. And
no.
You know what you
have? I did not know that about you.
Let me tell you what you have to
do. I'm not surprised, but
you
I didn't know that.
You have to drive your car into the principal's office and pin him against his desk.
Not get out of your car and pin him.
No, actually
pin him with
drive
your
vehicle into it and push his desk up against the wall and pin his leg. That's the only way you can get put on academic probation. And that's just him wanting you to put it in reverse and let him get out of his pressure. Mangled legs to get out from behind the desk. You know what you have to do to get academic probation? It's almost impossible.
Yes.
It's sort of like getting into trouble in a biker gang. You know what I mean? Like, we got a discipline Tex over here. He's a little out of control. We try to tell him to keep it to one cake. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We said, keep the raping to five, Tex. He crossed the line. He got into double digits. You really have to work hard. So, that's it.
I've never been in academic probation. So,
you haven't?
See? No. There we go. Well, that's good. That's what, now we've run the gamut here.
Right.
Doing all right.
Yeah, you're doing fine. You got one class. Take one class.
I work full time.
You got a math class? Yeah. Okay. Listen. Hey, listen. I've done the math. In year 2072, he'll be transferring to UC Riverside. It'll be huge. They're going to take his corpse and symbolically take it to a four-year college. Scatter his ashes over the student union. It's going to be huge. All right. All right, buddy.
Yeah.
Listen, I'm just saying, I was smart enough to get out of junior college.
Okay.
All right. Got a grip on you, buddy. I should go around and talk to people like I should have junior college interventions. That's what I should do. Like, they do it with drugs all the time. A guy shows up, he's come back, he's got a hacky sack, a dime bag in his pocket, he's rented a Blockbuster movie, he's got a couple of PG folders. Guy just comes in, chets it down. We all surround him. How long you been going to L.A. Valley College? 19 semesters. You said you were going to transfer to an Ivy League school. That was 9 years ago. Yeah. I know, I'm getting around. No, buddy, you're out. And we just grab him, and it's really tough, but we drag him out. We take him
like
to
that.
A job.
You wouldn't go there.
We
like,
could force him to get a job.
Your family's here because they love you. They're going to tell you how your behavior has affected them.
Right.
The sisters have a little script.
It's embarrassing. They start
crying. It's embarrassing to me. I have to tell my friends you take one class junior college. You're on academic probation. It is such humiliation.
You understand? Yeah. And for the first few years, I lied. I said you died in Vietnam. I wouldn't spare myself.
I can't sleep at night worrying about you.
Yes.
Yeah, I've asked you 1,000 times to change, move on.
Yeah. Oh, it's good, Drew. I could run them.
Yeah.
I'd be standing there. I'd say we have to have a plan. We have to take the guy down to like a meat packing plant, get him a job. You know, we got a job waiting for him in a one-bedroom apartment.
I'm just thinking about the intervention. We actually get the principal involved.
Yeah.
The principal would show up on crutches, of course.
Yeah, he's showing up because you pinned him. Yeah,
right,
he's explaining that you're not four-year college material. It's time to listen. Yeah. Oh, this is good, Drew. I wish someone would have done this for my mom many years ago.
We can still do it.
Chicano studies major, by the way, over at Valley College.
There we go.
Yeah, I'm a legacy.
It's huge.
She's been there 53 years. I swear to Christ. Julie?
Hello.
Julie, yes, you're 22.
Hi, Adam.
What's happening?
Hi, Dr. Drew.
What's happening, baby? I'll say hello to Dean Kane.
Hi, Dean Kane.
Hi, Julie.
How are you doing?
I'm doing very well, thanks.
Right,
How you doing?
Say hi. Don't make small talk.
Okay, sorry.
All right, here we go.
Okay. I totally made up the question because I have a different question and the guy wouldn't talk to me before.
All right, that's
a
girl.
There's such
Anderson's brutal.
Yeah, he's a harsh man.
I consider that creative and motivated.
Yeah, put her back on. Let's hear what it is.
I'm interested when somebody wants that badly to get on the air. It must be an important call. So
it's the whole admitting it, though. And then they get other people to do it, and then they try and lie to the screeners.
It's not going
to
be. But listen, Sheriff, let her back on, please.
I've been dealing with for a long time.
All right, go ahead. Spit it out. It better be good.
Okay, I'll be quick. I've been hanging out with this guy for like 2 months, and... I'm just having troubles reading him. Like, I don't know. Like, one minute I think he likes me, and the next minute I'm not really sure.
Well, here's the deal. One question. Is he loaded on drugs or pot or anything?
No.
Okay. Then he doesn't like you.
Mm-hmm.
It's very simple.
That's exactly what I was
going to say. When a guy digs you, and especially when you dig him.
It's like saying, I'm not sure if this freight train is coming my direction or not.
Freight train?
But, freight train.
Freight yes. train.
But I've been waiting for it. I hear the train coming, but no, the train will come if it's coming, fast.
Yes.
Men do not mince about these kinds
well,
of things.
Well, Drew, you're a passionate man, a man of exquisite passion. You know how Dean's a blessed man?
He's passionate, too.
You're blessed with passion. That's well, that's another blessing for
that's
him.
That's right. I understand you barely have a pulse, but even you...
Even
would
me.
Agree with this.
If I was into someone, I'm making a move, especially if you're hanging out a lot.
And no,
well, he definitely makes moves.
It's what does he do?
Well, we pretty much done everything except it.
Oh, this is problem number two, yeah. Which is now
holding back.
Yeah.
No, you're just physical. I mean, he's not into you. He's just he's a little maintenance.
But he's also holding back too, because if you're really into her, he wouldn't be able to hold back from that. Now he's saying to himself, "I don't do this with her. I don't really like her that much. I'm gonna
Who's not having? Wait a minute. Who's the one who's stopping it at a certain point sexually? Is that you or him?
That would be definitely me.
Oh, you.
Yeah.
All right. See, Drew, you're wrong as usual.
But again, he sort of
no. Well, he's not raping. Is that what you're saying? Rape's a good thing. No. That's what we should all
tell
have.
Dean, he'll appreciate your rape theory.
Well, it's not a theory. It's a fact.
It's a fact about rape. He's very, very insightful.
I've told Drew many times. People on the air. Rape is not a sexual crime. It's not. It's a violent crime.
Against women.
Where you come at the end. You know, but other than that, it's violent. It's not a sexual crime. You understand? It's violent, but you come
at the end.
At the end.
Same thing. But same thing.
No, it is. Yeah. No. No different than any other kind of violent crime. I go in and rob a liquor store and a pistol whipped the owner and then come. It's the same thing. It's any violent crime. It's an aggravated assault where you come. It's a vehicular manslaughter if you came, like when you're running over someone. It's a crime of violence where you come. You know, you come. But it's not sexual. It's not sexual. It's like many other things where you come that aren't sexual. They're just not. You know what I mean? I mean, there could be times when you orgasm at a funeral, at a wake, during a Pop Warner football game. There are many times stuck in traffic, aggravated, you orgasm. Not sexual. Nothing sexual about that. Act of violence where, you know, you come in. That's all. But not a sexual crime.
How would they ever have called that a sexual crime? I can't understand that.
Not a sexual crime. Not a sexual crime. You put your penis in something. Not sexual. Not sexual. Violent. It's violence. You understand?
Yes.
You understand?
That's very clear.
Yeah. No. And it's just like when you go home and make, have sex with your wife. That's not sexual. That's violence.
Wait a minute. You called it sex, though.
Well, yeah, I know. But when you, anytime your penis goes in someone, it's violent.
Okay,
that's what I'm saying.
Now it all makes sense. It's clear, finally.
Yeah, it's a crime of violence, Dean. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
That's all.
Where you come? I see. You ejaculate.
I really like to do a PSA for that. Drew loves that. All right, who the hell were we talking to?
Julie?
Julie.
So, yeah. Julie,
all right,
wait.
Let's try to sort this out. There's this guy. You've been into him for about 2 months.
Yes, we always
hang out. You hang out. Spend a lot. How many times a week do you see him?
It can range from like every other day to like just like on the weekends.
Mm-hmm.
And your physical every
work.
And your physical every time you're together.
No, it's only happened like 2 or 3 times.
Uh huh. That's violence, by the way. That's an attack.
I talk to my friends about this, and they keep telling me about how guys like. Have like this whole different way of thinking and how, like, I can't think things.
Does he have a girlfriend?
I just don't understand it.
Is he seeing anybody?
No.
No, you sure he's free and clear?
I'm sure.
And what brought you two together in the first place?
A friend.
It just doesn't fit.
And you're becoming physical and you're holding on.
Really, 3 times they've kind of made out basically, and they've sort of, you know.
Yeah,
hooked up
everything,
but
a little bit more than that, but yeah.
But you told him he wanted to go further, and you said no, not you know, unless.
Well, the first time we didn't have a condom.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second time, well, I'm a virgin, so.
All right.
22.
Wow.
I'm kind of scared.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. All right. You're misreading this guy.
I don't want to tell him that I am because I'm so old.
Yeah, you're misreading this guy, Julie. I really think.
All right.
Like,
so why don't you just?
Know. if I have the right to ask him, like,
yes, you do. You have every right to ask him. You don't need the right to ask him.
You hang out regularly with him. You've only been physical three times. And in those encounters, there's always been sort of a holding back. There's nothing about him. He does not have a sort of a religious orientation that would hold him back, or a medical problem, or drug use, or something. It doesn't sound like normal 22-year-old guy behavior.
Well, he's not 22. I'm 22.
How old is he?
28.
Ooh. Even worse.
Yeah. Okay. Why don't you ask him? Ask him where he stands.
Okay.
So he won't, like, freak out?
No. Well, listen. Here's the thing, everybody. Everyone acts like the question is going to change the answer. Yeah. The answer's already determined.
Right.
It's like saying, I don't want to affect my grade by asking the teacher how I did on my final. Well, he's already got the grade. It's sitting there. You just don't want to know because you don't feel like you knew many of the answers or many of the questions on the test. That's what it is. And it's the same thing. It's like when people sort of know the answer... And
it's an answer they don't want to hear.
They don't want to ask the question, and then they blame the question. It's right. Like, well, we're doing real good, and then I asked him what his feelings were, and then he freaked out, whatever. No, yeah. If you're into someone, please, Dean, you're more man than all of us put together in this room.
Superman.
You're Superman, for the love of Christ. If you're into somebody, you're into them. Them asking you is the best day of your life when you're into someone.
Absolutely.
Especially if it's 2 months of you guys playing footsie, and then once in a while that chick you've just been pining for comes up and goes, listen, I have feelings for you. It's like, oh, my God, skyrockets going
never
on
happens.
Here.
Never happens.
Yeah, never happens. But the point is if it did, and I've run through the scenario many times in my head, it's never actually happened. But, you know, just preparing, always being prepared.
Case, yes.
Yeah, no, it's like, oh, my God, this is you're back in high school. Yeah. This is a dream come true. Oh,
and conversely, if you're not, and they ask that question...
You're not anybody.
You're not.
There it is.
Yeah.
The answer's right
you,
there.
You weren't going to be, and that's, by the way, and ladies, listen up, when they start with the, you know, you and I have is special, but no. I don't want to ruin it with... No.
Men are not flexible. They're either on or off.
Right.
There's not an in-between switch with them. Women kind of more, much more flexible, move around a little
bit. Yeah, that's why chicken be like, I went camping with Tammy. I went down on her. But anyway, we're cool. We're back to friends. Like, yeah, me and Ted went camping. I blew him, but, you know.
Things are never the same.
Just can't.
And your heart's broken.
No, guys are just, yeah, they don't have that. Like, I'm not gay. Ted's not gay. But we drank a couple Lucky Lagers, and we looked in the fire. And, you know, we blew each other. Ah, we're back. Violence. It was an act of violence. The oral sex. Don't kid yourself. We'll take a quick break. Dean Cain in studio, everybody. And thank you. Clubhouse, name of his new show, CBS, Tuesday nights, 9 o'clock. We'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Drew, please. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dean Cain, everybody, in studio.
There we go.
Partially blessed. I've moved him down a little bit. He just, I'm not going to talk about what we're talking about off the air, but he's, you know, he's not blessed anymore. He's just, you know.
Nobody's purely blessed.
He's doing
blessed.
Fine.
We all have our thorns.
Yes. Yeah, he's fine. Not blessed. He's doing all right.
He's blessed.
Yeah, listen. He lands on his feet.
Lord,
that's the thing about
Lord,
Dean Cain. Take it away every once in a while. All right. Take it away.
Just to keep it real.
Absolutely.
He's doing good. Just been downgraded a little. That's all. Still smack in the middle of Blessville. Just not the mayor anymore. You know
Certainly
what I mean?
Not in the cursed
not near the curse. No. No. Just
blessed.
Yeah, he is. He's doing okay. He'll be fine. You know what I mean? He's resilient, this kid. He'll be back. Bones, you know, they man themselves.
Brittany wants to talk to you.
Brittany, yeah. We're going to build up Dean Cain here, everybody.
Yes, yeah. I feel good.
Hey, grab any, gentlemen. Helmet's not a chair. I got to tell you that.
Come on,
right
ladies.
Now. Break it down now, Brittany.
Hi.
You're 18?
Yeah, I'm 18.
You want to talk to Dean?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
He's so hot. I love him so much. I feel like a dork, like a little twit that's really excited. But,
So you sound very intelligent to me.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, thanks.
I like that.
Actually, what I wanted to ask is, what influences you to pick your roles?
Oh, wow. That is a really me question.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's
the, playing just, baseball all day with your friends.
Yeah. Sometimes it's that. sometimes it's I need the cash.
Sure.
Well, yeah.
Because that's my job. Sometimes it's a timing issue. There's a million things to it, and sometimes you're really lucky and you get to pick it because you like the product.
Are you culling through stuff?
Do you look through stuff? I look through all kinds of stuff. I'm always seeing projects, but I like to work, so I'm looking to work, and I need a
sometimes
reason.
Sometimes your agent will tell you, like, eh,
somebody
advises
you, yeah,
somebody
says, yeah, take this one, take that one.
And then I have my unofficial advisors, my folks, my.
Oh, yeah.
But that's it's a lot of that, and then you have your gut, and my gut tells me I could play this and be good at it, or have fun doing this, and.
Well, like, what about the Scott Peterson role? That's a horrible. Just to play that, like, that's very brave of you to pick. Just what influenced you to pick that role?
Well, actually, I originally turned it down, and then they offered it to me again, and
more money,
and
more money.
And yes, and then finally, which made it more appealing. And my father and I were talking, and my father's a director, and he said, you know, could you be good in this? And I said, actually,
I know he does a director. It's interesting.
Wow. I said, I could be actually very good in this. And he said, oh, well, you know, are you an actor?
Were you acting in Princeton?
Yeah, but we didn't exactly see eye to eye, the instructors and I. In fact, film class, I got, a B minus.
What'd you major in at Princeton?
History.
History.
That's a slap in the
face. B minus is good, right?
No, it's not bad at Princeton, by the way.
I got an 86 in my first exam, C plus.
Wow. That's
everything's curved.
Yeah, wow.
The wrong way.
Yeah. Hey, Brittany.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thanks for calling, baby doll.
Okay. Well, he's
absolutely.
Really hot. He's like, yeah. No, but you and there's only two older guys that I like, and you're one of them. Definitely.
All right.
Yeah.
I'll take that.
I hope it makes your week or something. But 18 years, I still love you.
I love that. That makes more than my week. Trust me.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, Brittany.
Thank you, Brittany.
Guys.
Thanks for killing him.
Stop.
Not blessed anymore. Downgraded. Yeah, I do that same with my thing with my dad. I'll discuss topics, projects, roles, things like that.
Oh, your dad?
That.
Oh, yeah, all the time.
Yeah. My dad usually just look up and go, "What? You're a carpenter. What are you talking about?" Oh, Dad, I've been on TV for a year. Oh, please, go put a deck on. Who are you kidding? Yeah, my dad's great. He's really showbiz father. Showbiz. I told him, I was talking about this the other night. I said to him, you know, CBS has come calling after Kilborn quit. They're looking for a guy to replace Kilborn. I don't have the gig, but, you know, my name's on a short list. We're going to check it out. And he's like, so, you'll be going over to CBS. Oh, okay. You'll still be working over at Jimmy's, though, right? I'll still be riding on a competing. I'll be riding for a competing late night show. That's what I'll be doing. During the day, I'll be writing jokes for the other talk show that's on, and then about what time's our show tape? 6:30, 5:45. I'll slide over here, jump into makeup, and just come out. I'll be unprepared, of course. I was writing jokes for another show the entire day, but yeah,
write bad jokes, and then you're really working for
sabotage jokes. This write that down, Drew.
Got it. Done and done.
What's our other idea? Come on, affirmative action.
Oh, affirmative action. Yeah, I thought you meant okay. Yes, yes.
Affirmative Marisol. Action.
Marisol.
Yeah.
Six, yeah.
All right, we're going to line six. Let's talk to Tim, who's 21. Tim? Tim?
Sleeping?
Hard to tell. Been on hold for 32 minutes. Not long by Loveline standards.
Not long.
No.
Delayed orgasm by pressing on perineum. Let's know if that's safe.
Yep.
Tim?
Oh, Dean.
At least that's what I tell people.
Dean knows it's safe.
It's not so much that it's delayed orgasm, but that it causes a retrograde ejaculation, usually.
Yeah. So. You pee it out later, right?
Yeah.
So what do you do? That's taint pressure, yes?
Mm-hmm.
And why? What's that? That actually physically blocks off the flow? Yeah. I don't want to see any pee.
It's got a chart. It's got a chart.
There we go.
So what is there a flume that goes under the underside there?
Yeah, no, it's more that you're just sort of directing it back.
Yeah. All right.
I'll find it.
All right. I'm going to keep moving forward.
Here,
addictive
here,
porn.
Here, here.
What do we need here?
That's...
All right. We're looking at a cutaway of the male prostate. Anatomy here. Prostate's where? Back there?
It's around the urethra here. This whole
right.
thing.
All right. Urethra comes down.
And this is the vesicles where it's all stored, the sperm. And it comes out here into the urethra.
Sperm's up in you. I thought it was in your sac.
No. Sperm is processed and it's transported back up here and stored.
Well, starts here, goes up, goes back up.
Yeah, it gets stored.
Interesting.
And then it comes out that little tube right there. So if you push here, it goes right back up.
Goes right back in. It goes in your bladder?
Yeah.
Gay. So gay. Look, either you got sperm in here or you don't. I don't care who's.
Well, you don't have to close it off. You know.
Oh.
You don't have to be closed off.
Yeah.
I mean.
What about if you just put a little pressure so it comes out like when you put your thumb over a garden hose?
Yeah, you can get a spray.
take something out, take like a can off a fence. You know what I mean? Pow.
If your aim is good, you get...
That would be good if you could work that, you know, if you could feather that perineum just enough to get, you know, 8-12 feet. Huh?
Nice.
True. As a man of passion, surely that would come
in
handy.
Here's the tube again. This is where the... This is epididymis or epididymitis, remember? Look at the picture.
I'm not looking. Look. You know, because it's the radio. That's why, Drew.
It goes up and then the seminal vesicle goes down out.
All right.
See, you learn something new.
You do. And then you forget almost immediately because you drink when you get home to forget. We'll take a little break. Dean Cain in studio tonight, Clubhouse, name of the new TV show. Oh, playing baseball all day with, ex-big leaguers and guys throwing hard and really playing. You know, they want it to look realistic, so they're throwing. Dean's got the pine tar, taking his cuts up there. And to make it look good, they just get up there and throw hard. And the good news is they probably stay away from the junk, you know. Yep. They just come down the pipe with it because the motion and everything looks good, and you get the speed and the sound. Dean gets the timing down. It takes a couple of takes, and then pow.
Bingo.
Dinger City.
Yep.
Yes, Drew?
Yes, Adam.
All right. We'll be right back after this. Well, everybody, what do you know? Where's the time go, Drew?
Good times.
Yeah. All right, Dean Cain, now back into the blessed category after another story I heard during the commercial break.
Very, very blessed.
Very, very, very blessed. Yes, Drew?
Yes, Adam.
All right.
Very.
Clubhouse, name of the new TV show on CBS, a very blessed network. Going to be Tuesday nights, 9 o'clock, with a big sneaky preview coming up this Sunday at 9 o'clock. Dean, much success and mazel tov to you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much.
Always a treat. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo. There is nothing better than urinating on wildlife. And women, this is a thrill you will never know.
This has been Loveline. Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.